Happy New Year. 2016, huh? Yeah. We thought we were all going up in flames in Y2K, and look at us 16 years later. Still here. This kid overheard mom and dad talking in the kitchen about New Year's resolutions. And he came in and he said, "You know, Mom, what exactly is a New Year's resolution?" And she said, "Oh, son, it's just a to-do list for the first week of January." Sounds about right. For some reason, we are experts, and by we, I mean just people in general. We're experts at kind of claiming that clean slate of the new year, and oftentimes in like many areas of our lives, more often than not, to have that clean slate last for a week, maybe 2 weeks. And for those of us that are, you know, really committed to the cause, it may actually last a month. I mean, we may hang on to a resolution for an entire month. How you doing with that, Center Point? Did you make any resolutions this year? Have you kept any? Yeah. It seems that in my own life, I tend to go into these times with pretty good intentions. Like I do go into the clean slate of the new year, or I go into the resolution, and I really have intentions. I want to make things better. I want this year to be a better year. I want to shed that unwanted habit, right? I want to be better. I want to be better as a person. I want to grow as a person. And it seems that not only in society, in my own life, it seems that that's pretty much become just kind of a joke, you know, that resolutions are pretty much made to be broken. And this is unfortunate, because if I could hang on to some of these commitments, if I could actually put into the action of lifestyle or the practice of lifestyle some of these things that on the first of the year I'm really motivated to do, I think they could actually help me. Now, what are they for 2015? What were the biggest resolutions of last year, 2015? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's a group, a social media group, that did a canvas, basically, of Twitter. And they went on Twitter last year, a year ago, and basically asked the question, what are the most used keywords? And they canvassed Twitter, and they developed their top 10 list of the most popular resolutions for the year 2015. So we're talking a year ago. Here they are. Number 10 last year via Twitter was don't mess it up. Like, whatever it is. Like, don't mess it up. It reminds me of the man who said, you know, my resolution is to write 2016 rather than 2015. Right? Whatever it is. Big, small, public, private. Just don't mess it up. Number 9 was work harder. I love that resolution, because it's pretty vague, right? Like, you could have been a slacker last year, and if you do just a little bit more this year than you did last year, you did it, right? You worked harder. Way to go. Now, number eight was, I'm going to love myself. I'm going to be better to myself than I was this year. Number 7 was, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol. 2015, number 7, stop drinking alcohol. Number 6, I'm going to be the best at ... something. I'm going to be the best at it. Don't know what it is, right? But I'm going to be the best at it. By the way, Will Foreman did beat Shelly Cummins in the Fantasy Football League Super Bowl last week. So if you made that resolution last, or Will, to be the best, you got it. Way to go, buddy. Number 5, I'm going to unplug. I'm going to escape from time to time from this electronic prison, this rat race that I live in, and I'm going to unplug in this new year. Number 4, I'm going to stop smoking. Number 3 on the Twitter list last year was, I'm going to lose weight. Number 2 was, I love this one, I'm going to be happy. Like, I love that as a resolution. I think that's an interesting resolution. I'm determining in this new year that I'm going to be happy, doggone it, and you try to stop me, right? in this new year, I'm going to be happy. And the number one resolution last year via Twitter, 2015, I'm going to work out. Again, one that I just absolutely love for its vagueness, right? I'm going to work out. Resolution met, right? I did it. I worked out. Whatever. Well, it's no joke that at the turn of the year, fitness clubs across the country see an increase in their memberships. People kind of flood back into the gym to get in shape. And the problem is, though, well, the problem is actually this right here. That's the problem. Big red circle, people who start going to the fitness club in January, and then the itsy-bitsy yellow circle, people who continue going to the club in February. That's the problem. But why? Why do we willingly walk away from things that mean good for us? Church, 2016, here you go. The truth is, we, again as people, we have become experts at walking away. Can I say that to you again? We, as people, we have become experts at walking away. As people, we have become, don't take this as harsh as I mean, we have become expert quitters. We walk away from jobs and sports teams. We walk away from relationships, not the least of which is marriage. We walk away from one church on a whim and search for the perfect church where everybody serves and there's no complaining and there's always money flowing, you know. We walk away from hopes. We walk away from dreams. And in many cases, I've come to believe that in many areas of our lives, we think it's just easier to walk away than it is to work towards some form of health and wholeness in the different areas of our lives. And the truth is, yes, it is probably easier to simply walk away. It's easier to walk away than it is to keep going to the gym in February. It's easier sometimes, it may seem, to walk away than to work on a relationship that has been going down a bad path for 6 months or 6 years. Sometimes it's easier to just walk away. One writer put it like this. He said, there's no other way to put it. Many of us simply want to walk the path of least resistance regardless of the topic. And we tend to shun things that require of us, demand of us, and are at times difficult to navigate. Many of us have grown to believe that the best response when feeling overwhelmed in whatever area of our lives is to walk away. Walk away from the person, walk away from the problem, walk away from the relationship. The thing is, though, church, the good news is that's not what we see in the character of God. Right, the good news is that's not what we see when we look at the life of Jesus. As a church, just a week ago, right here in this room, we ended 2016 with these words. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. And see, the truth is, if anyone has a right to walk away, it's the Lord. Right? Because that's what we have done to Him. We do our own thing. As humans, we go our own way, even sometimes with best intentions. We walk away from the one who created us. We walk away from the one who called us. And yet, He continues to walk by our side, never leaves us on our own. God is faithful. And so what we see in the character of God is one who holds on even in the worst of times. One who holds on even when we make terrible, lousy decisions. What we see in God is one who holds on even when it seems that there is no hope. He battles for us. He fights for us. He stands in the gap for us. even when there's no hope. And I believe that there are some of us today in different areas of our lives that that's maybe what we feel, even on the brink of the excitement of a January 1st. Even at the start of a new calendar, my guess is that in a room this size, there are some of us that we feel hopeless. You'll never get out of debt. You'll never lose weight and get in shape. You'll never get things right with your wife. Your kids grew up and they're gone. You'll never have a good relationship with them. You'll never find that job. You'll never. For some of us, despite the excitement of this 2016, I know the distant gnawing voice saying just those words, you'll never. Your situation is hopeless. And church, if that's our thinking, then we're probably right. If in our own power we think we're going to overcome some of these things, we'll never. If when the calendar turned for you, there was some resolve deep within you that you thought was going to make it possible for you to get out of the pit, then you'll never. You see, our hope center point is not that we've been given this clean slate of a new calendar now to make it happen on our own. Not that we have found some new resolve or power deep inside ourselves. Our hope is in the God we proclaim this Christmas season. This God who comes to us in Jesus Christ and lovingly takes up residence in our messed up lives. And despite, listen to this church, despite what he inherited when he came to us, he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He walks with us desiring to bring wholeness into the pit of our lives. Pits that we are convinced we'll never get out of. For some of us, that pit literally is an inactive lifestyle with terrible eating habits. For some of us, that is the pit. For some of us, the pit is this financial pit. And sometimes we tend to go straight to debt. It's not simply debt that can be the financial pit for us. See, for some of us, it could be a pit of debt. For some of us, it could be that we're in a pit of financial selfishness. And we're not going to spend our money on anything but ourselves. For some of us, it could be the financial pit of the belief that everything I have actually belongs to me. For some of us, it could be the pit is a failing marriage. Or just a failing home life in general where there is no peace. There is no joy in the four walls of your home. Tension between you and those you're supposed to love the most seems to always override any joy or excitement you feel with them. For others, it could be that the pit is simply this fake, faithless, dry spiritual life. And we stand back sometimes and we just ask, maybe this is just the lot that I'm going to walk in my spiritual road anymore. It's just going to be dry. It's just going to be going through the motions. Maybe some of us have come to believe that this is just how life is going to be for me. Living in a pit, all the while time passes us by. Can I tell you this morning, that's not God's desire or design for us. Let me rewind that and say that again. Can I tell you that living in the pit is not God's desire or design for us? Jesus came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. That's actually the promise that he made. I came to give you life and that you would have it to the full. And so there's actually something greater than a resolution in this 2016. You see, I hope by now, you know, I'm not talking about resolutions. There's a life of victory. There's a life of joy that Christ calls us to that I think he wants to bring to us. And he's not waiting for the turn of a calendar year. It just happens to be a good time for people like preachers to talk about this kind of stuff. But there's this life of victory and joy and wholeness that he seeks to bring. And it's not going to happen in our own strength. It's not going to happen in our own power. It's not going to happen in our own might. It'll be the voice of God, the Spirit of God working through us, church. Over the next month, here's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to spend some time in conversation about first steps. Conversation about first steps toward wholeness in four distinct areas of our lives. Fitness, finance, family, and faith. Real quick, I need you to get this. I need you to understand this. When I use the term wholeness from the pulpit, when I'm talking about the biblical idea of wholeness, I'm talking about the biblical word peace. Okay? And here's the biblical truth, okay? When we talk about peace, as it comes out of Scripture, we're not talking about this lack of tension. We're not talking about this idea that everybody gets along and everybody's happy because everybody has smiles on their faces. When we talk about biblical peace, we talk about biblical wholeness, we're talking about this life of health that God is calling us to. And so I can assure you, if in your life, you're living life in relationship with other people, you might be able to experience wholeness, but that doesn't mean it won't be without tension, right? You might be able to have a healthy relationship with your spouse or your kids or your neighbors or other church members, but that doesn't mean it will be without conflict. Okay? So it's not this fake getting along because we're walking in line together that Christ is calling us to. The life of wholeness is this life of health. If you, as a family, seek to get out of debt in 16 or 17, you will have conflict. Can I get an amen, Don? Okay. When you and your spouse sit down to talk about money, you're going to have conflict. It doesn't mean you're not moving towards health and wholeness, but it does mean that you might have some tension as you work through those things. And again, left to our own devices, it's easier to just walk away from the table than it is to actually sit down and work it out. Right? And I don't mean this in like a war term, but it's easier to walk away than it is to battle it out and say, together, we've got to figure out what's going to be best for us, where God is calling us. Right? So when we talk about peace, we talk about the idea that I believe God can begin to lay out for us the path of wholeness. It's not the path of tensionlessness. It's not the path of no conflict. It means we start moving towards health as we get closer to Him, and I think that's a good thing. Here's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, specifically for us over the next three, four weeks, in all of our financial ways, in all of our health choices, in all of our family decisions, in all of our faith walks with God, if we will acknowledge Him, if we will recognize Him, if we will trust Him, He will make our path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. He will help us, empower us, strengthen us for the path that He desires for us. And at the end of the day, that's what we're seeking here. My temptation this morning was to have you pull out a piece of paper and write your hopes and dreams for your finances, your fitness, your family, and your faith for the next year. And at the end of the day, I don't want to be limited by my own imagination in this area. I don't want to limit God in this area. I don't want to say to God, here's what my little pea brain conceived. So if you make this happen, boy, I'll be real happy. No. There's this idea that God can conceive something I could never imagine, I could never hope for in each of these areas of my lives. And if I let him lead me and guide me, it'd be much greater than anything Dwayne could ever come up with. And I think it starts with two questions. I'm going to pop these up on the screen. I just want you to reflect on them just for a moment. What does the Lord desire from me, for me and from me in these areas? Am I willing to follow his path? That's not two questions I think you sit right here right now and answer. I think this becomes a journey for us that we start down. Asking from the Lord, what do you desire for me? Not what do I desire for me. What do you desire for me? And what do you desire from me in these areas? And ultimately coming to the question, am I willing to follow his path? Right? It doesn't do anything for us, church, if the Lord lays out his path for us and we say, oh, you know what? I think I'd rather go this way. We're not going to get to where he wants us to be. We're not going to go where he wants us to go. Am I willing to follow his path? So here's what we're going to do. Over the next 3 weeks, I want us to be able to hear from Scripture about some of these four areas. But then along with Scripture, I want you to be able to hear from some folks in the congregation. And here's the thing. I don't mean to highlight these people as experts in the field. I'm not trying to put them on the spot. I'm not trying to embarrass them. But there's some people in this congregation that I think can help us along the way in some of these areas. So here's what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to tackle two of them in one service. Right? Like, we're going to do two of them next week. Next week, we're going to talk about fitness with Mr. Bodybuilder and personal trainer Kevin Smith. He's going to come up here and join me. He's going to talk. And we're also going to talk finance with Mr. Don Myers. And here's what that looks like. For some of you, you're down the road in all these areas. Some of you men, you think you're a bodybuilder already. You don't need to hear from Kevin Smith. And that's cool, right? You can do something else during the service, whatever. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to share some scripture about what the Lord has to say about some of these areas of our lives. And then we're going to hear from some of these folks related to just very basic first steps. Like as practical and as basic as we can get to ask the question, you know, if I want to get down the road towards physical fitness and health, what do I do? Where do I start? Help me. Kevin Smith's going to come and talk to us about some of those things. Fitness or finance. Maybe you say, you know what? Yeah, we got to get a rein on our finances. We got to understand what the Lord desires from us financially and begin to move towards wholeness in that area. Don is going to share some things. Then the following week, Miss Darla Sparrow is going to join me up here and talk about family. And family life and marriage and raising kids a little bit. And then on the 24th, Miss Dixie Turner, a.k.a. Roxy Rich, is going to come up and join us. And Dixie's going to talk to us a little bit about the life of faith and what it means for us to have our personal walk with the Lord. All along the way, if you're in a community group, your discussions are going to center on these topics over the next 4 weeks. And so, leaders, thanks for guiding and directing that conversation. And here's the thing. We're also going to be embarking on some new Wednesday night and Sunday morning electives, along with some other supplemental things. And I want to tell you about those right now. Okay, so let's kind of walk through these together, Jim. Here's the deal. If you say, you know what, Dwayne, I want to get in the Word and I want to get into the Word deeply, there's a precept study starting up this Tuesday, January 5th at 10 a.m. right here at the church. It's Tuesday morning, so I realize some of you work. You can't be here on a Tuesday morning. If you don't, here's an option for you to come with Ms. Sharon Thomas and a group of about 15 other folks as they're going to be diving into 1 Thessalonians over this next semester. So you say, I want to get in the Word. I want to understand how to study the Word. Here's an opportunity for you here. Also, our Wednesday night meals are kicking up this Wednesday night at the church right here. Brother Rick Osteen and Karen, they're going to make beautiful meals for us. Thank you so much. Everybody claps when we say your name for some reason. I love it. Rick Osteen. But Wednesday night meals are kicking up, and on this Wednesday night, Sherry Mosier is going to be starting a 13-week study called Bible... I know it's early, but we still got stuff to do, so hang on, stick with me. But Sherry Moser is going to be leading the study called Bible in a Nutshell. This is a great, great study for the person who's new to the faith, or maybe you've been sitting in a church for the last 30 years and you say, you know what, Dwayne? I don't understand what it means to get into this book. I get here, I get to Numbers, I get confused. I don't know what the different pages mean. I don't know what the different names mean. Sherry, this is a great study for walking somebody. Here's what you're going to do in Bible in a Nutshell. Over 13 weeks, you're going to walk through the entirety of Scripture. You see, this is not one book. This is 66 books in one binding. This is an entire library, different types of literature written at different times throughout history by different people. And yeah, it takes a little bit to understand it. Sherry's going to break it down for us. And so if you say, you know what, I want to understand Scripture. I want to be able to look at the entirety of Scripture and so that I can get into it myself and see what the Lord has to say, this is going to be a great, great study for you. That's starting this Wednesday night right here at the church. Also starting this Wednesday night is a Spanish-speaking study called The Fruit of the Spirit based on Galatians 5, 22 and 23. That's led by Fabiana Rojas. They will be speaking Spanish in that class. So if Spanish is not your primary language, that may not be the best class for you. It doesn't mean you can't be a part of that, but they will be speaking largely Spanish in there. Fabiana, thank you so much for leading that. Looking forward to that. Also coming up is a women's study. Jessica Rath is leading for us called Power in the Blood of Christ. Men, sorry, you're not invited to this particular study, but Jessica will be starting that up right here again this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Okay, Jessica Rath. Thursday night, January 21st. Everybody look at the screen with me. Or January 21st. What does it say up there? 13th. That is a typo, okay? It's not the 13th. It's January 21st. It is a Thursday night. Whoa. Mixing it up a little bit. Thursday night, Don Myers will be embarking on a brand new session of Financial Peace University. So if you're out there, you say, you know what, we got to get out of debt. We got to live like nobody else so we can live like nobody else. We got to understand budgeting and the baby steps of getting back on top of our finances. It's going to be a sacrifice Thursday night. Make it happen if that's you, if that's your family. I'm pretty sure, I don't have my figures mixed up, I'm pretty sure that Ramsey is reporting that in 2015, Financial Peace University across the board saw people get out of $55 million in debt in 2015, okay? So make it happen. Don, that's a nine-week study beginning January 21st. We have a marriage series coming up, marriage study coming up called You and Me Forever. It's based on a book by Francis and Lisa Chan with some video supplements to go along with it. We're going to be offering this study because people serve in different areas in the life of the church. We're going to be offering this study at two different times. So it'll be the same session, but it'll be going on at two different times, beginning Sunday, January 17th at 9 a.m. That's going to be led by Chad and Brittany Smith. Chad right here in the middle. Wave at Chad. And then a completely separate session that will be our Wednesday night session starting on January 20th, led by myself and Marley. And so that'll be kicking up here on the 17th and the 20th also. So we want you to get the book because we need you to read the book in order to make that happen. Last, definitely not least, if you're not in a community group, let us help you get into a community group. I believe that circles are better than rows. In other words, Miss Ruth, you can stare at back of Hunter's head for the next 4 years and you're not going to know him any better. Let's get around the dinner table together. Get around the coffee table together. Talk about life and faith and what the Lord wants to do for us. If you're not in a community group, let us help you get connected to a community group. Now, here's the thing. Each of these things I just described for you, these classes, these electives, these are simply opportunities for you to get in and get involved and get to know some new people and get some help in those areas. None of these, please hear this, church, none of these are intended to be your personal walk with the Lord. Okay? If you can stand before the Lord today and say, you know what, God, I do want what you have for me in my finances, in my faith, in my family, in my fitness, and any other areas of life you need the Lord to be working on you in, that's going to require of you a daily walk with the Lord. Okay? These things we offer are simply supplements to your daily walk, your prayer life, your time in Scripture, your taking in Christian lyrics, your having conversation with other believers about the Word and what the Lord wants to do for you. So please, 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 whether you make it to one of these classes or not, don't let these supplement your seeking the face of the Lord, because the promise in the Word is this: if you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And so, church, my prayer is this: may we be able to discern the voice of Jesus amidst all the voices of hopelessness, and may we be able to follow Jesus in whatever area he's calling us to new growth, new life, and faith. Amen? Going to be a great year. Looking forward to 2016.